We'll continue again with the evil report and the two individuals, the two sets of individuals that God, the one set that God sent out or told Moses to send, and then the individuals that Moses sent. Numbers, the first chapter, and Numbers chapter 13. We'll be going back and forth on both of those. Chapter 1 of Numbers. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation, on the first day of the second month, in the second year, after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel, after their families, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their polls. From 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel, thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies. Verse 4. And with you there shall be a man of every tribe, every one a head of the house of his fathers. And these are the names of the men that shall stand with you. And then God names all of the men that will stand with Moses. I want you to understand there's two things significant about that. Number one, God named them. Number two, they were the heads of the house. And number three, they were the names of the men that'll stand with you. In verse 13, we have an interesting change, though. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. Now in verse 1, chapter 1, God already told him who's going to stand with him. He already said the rulers are the heads of the house of their fathers. And now in verse 3 of chapter 13, Moses does something that's very interesting and different. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. It was God's commandment that they be sent from Paran. But here's the change. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. So see, there's a big change between, or difference, between heads of house and heads of children. Now remember last week we talked about that. The head of the house is the one who's the head of the wife, and the wife carries out his instructions with the children. The man that is the head of the children is the one who does not have a wife who's in subjection to him, or she is a wife who says, you wait until your dad gets home, boy, he's going to get you. So you see, she doesn't carry out his instructions. She waits until he gets home and lets him do it, or doesn't do it at all, so that the father is really only in charge of the children. The husband might say to the wife, I'd like for you to do this or that, and she won't do it. She'll make every excuse in the world. She'll find semi-legitimate reasons not to do what she's been asked to do. And in effect, she makes her husband the head of the children and curses herself in the process, because God's already warned you, this man is going to make an evil report. If he's the head of the children only, he's going to come back with an evil report. So you see, ladies, it's for your benefit that you be in subjection to your husband. Men, it's for your benefit that you be a husband, because as we said last week, she can't be in subjection to the married guy in the house. She's got to be in subjection to the husband, and he's the champion, the warrior, the protector, and the shepherd. Now, to understand, there's two sets of individuals here. We all have a good and an evil side. Now you're going to find out that the first set of men that God set to send out is all going to be on your good side. The good side of your personality, the God side of you. And if you would send out that side of you to look at whatever problem, to help you make whatever decision you need to make, you'll always come back, and that decision, that'll stand with you. But if you send the other side out to look at the problem, make the decision, it's going to come back with an evil report, and it's going to say, we can't do this. That alcohol's stronger than we are. Those drugs are stronger. It's stronger. Everything's stronger. Besides that, we're grasshoppers. So you see, it depends on who you send out. God's already warned you. As a matter of fact, he's going to outline them word for word, and you're going to see they all came from the same tribes, 12 tribes. But from each tribe there was a different personality. One evil and one good. And depending on how you handle it is going to determine whether your life is one of evil reports or one of rest. Now let's look at verse 4 of chapter 13. See the first individual that was sent out. Verse 4 of chapter 13. Of the tribe of Reuben, Shammua, the son of Zakur. Now remember, Shammua meant well-known, renowned, a celebrity, someone who's famous and of reputation. In other words, this is someone who always has to be in the limelight. He always has to be recognized for what he does. He won't do anything just to do it. He always has to let you know what he's doing. And the reason for it is the son of Zakur. And Zakur means to mark so as to be recognized. Remember, recognized means to accept the authority, the legality, the propriety of. In other words, Shammua wants you to take him just like he is. After all, God loves us. And we're under grace. And that's all true, but you're still a jerk. And this Shammua individual, if you continue to send him out to help you in your decision-making process, he's going to come back with an evil report. Because let me tell you something about Shammua. He comes from the tribe of Reuben. And when you see what that means in a minute, you're going to see how important it is that you not be so self-centered. Now, in Numbers 1:5, we have the other personality. Now understand this, if you are a Shammua, if you are a celebrity, one who is famous and of reputation, one who thinks they know it all and can't be taught anything, you will attract another know-it-all. Now, lady, you're bound and determined. Man, you're going to get yourself a know-it-all because you're a Shammua. And now you're going to spend the rest of your life arguing with each other to see who is the biggest celebrity and who is the most recognizable one. Now, you see, do you understand why you've had so many divorces? Do you understand why you can't get along with your dog? Your dog's a Shammua. See, your dog thinks he knows better than you do. Your kids think they know better than you do. There's a continual battle in your home. Why? Because you are a Shammua. You want to be well known. You want to be the celebrity. You never want to be wrong. And you always want to be recognized. Recognized means to accept the authority, as in recognizing a government, recognizing the propriety of. That's just your nature. And because you are that way, you're going to attract another Shammua S. And then the rest of your life, you're going to argue and fight to see who knows the most. You're bound and determined. See, that's the first mistake that you made. The first mistake always begins with Reuben, who is the firstborn. You are first in your life, and you know it. And if you continue to put yourself first, you're going to attract people that are just like you. You go to work, your boss is a Shammua. The people you work with are Shammuas. The guy in front of you in the car is a Shammua. He won't move until he's good and ready. I mean, you are cursed with yourself. Everywhere you go, you see you. You know what Reuben means? See a son. Ben, the last part means son, and the first part means to see. It means to take heed, to approve. It means to behold and to consider and to discern. In other words, Shammua, who is of the tribe of Reuben, only sees himself. He only has eyes for him. He takes heed of what he says. If he says it, it's law. If you say it, he's against it. See, Shammua is the son of Zakur, but he's from the tribe of Reuben. And what he does is, because he's a Shammua, he's interested in himself. He sees only himself. He only sees what's good for him. He only sees himself as being always right. See, there's his problem. He's a Shammua from the tribe of Reuben. Now understand this, every bad habit or every good habit you'll ever have, you had to see it first. Go home, watch your commercials on TV, open your newspaper, they've always got ads and things that will catch what? Your eye. First, they want your eye. The first thing you have to do is see. God help you if the first thing you see is you.
God help you if you're sitting right there now and I'm trying to show you something and you're trying to tell yourself that you are of more reputation and you know more than I do when I've been studying this thing all week long. But there's a flip side of this. See, now this is the individual who's going to make an evil report. When you consider yourself and your knowledge and your information and your experience, you know you're going to come back with an evil report because your life's been a mess all your life. But there's a flip side, thank God. This is the one that God said, don't send Shemua. Numbers 1:5, he says, of the tribe of Reuben, here we have the same tribe, Eliezer, the son of Shedeua. Now Eliezer, now remember, he's the opposite of Shemua. Shemua only sees himself. Shemua is self-oriented. Eliezer means God of the rock. It means the Almighty, a chief politically, strength, a mighty man, strong support, power and strength. In other words, God says, look, send the God of the rock. Don't go with Shemua. Shemua is going to look at the problem and consider his own strength and going to come back with an evil report. Eliezer, because he's oriented to the strength of God, God is my strength, is going to go look at the problem and say, that is not as big as my God, and he's going to come back with a good report. Now, Eliezer has a father too. He's the son of Shedeua. Now remember, Zakur meant to be recognized, to be accepted just the way that you are. Eliezer means the God of the rock, the Almighty, the son of Shedeur. And Shedeur means spreader of light. In other words, Shemua sees himself and is constantly talking about himself. Now you know the Shemuas, we got all kind of them. They're either telling you how good they are, very glowing testimonies, or they're telling you how bad they are. They're self-oriented. See, all they do is talk about themselves. All they can see is themselves. The only sun they see is themselves. Now, if things are going good, they're very nice people. But the minute things don't go right for the Shemua, you might as well hang it up, try to be friendly with them. And you know who they are. They'll tell you one day, oh, everything's fine, let's just get along. The next day, they got long black robes on and a microscope, and they'll look every minute detail to see what is it with this person. Well, you see, Shemua's back in town. However, Eliezer, the son of Shedeua, is a spreader of light. His father's name means spreader of light. And Shedeua means, light means mental illumination. See, don't let anybody tell you that being a Christian means you just flip around and get spiritual and just have good feelings. Being a Christian takes sound mental thinking. We need mental illumination. Your mind is a dark cave. And you fill it with worldly knowledge and you think you've got enough. I'm not against worldly knowledge, but you have no mental illumination spiritually. See, the world, go to school. I'm not against that. It'll teach you what to do. Spiritual inspiration will tell you how and when. See, that's the problem with most people. Shedeur also means, besides mental illumination, it means mental knowledge and mental information. See, this emotional thing, that this Christianity that's palmed off as just being emotional. You just come and we sing and we dance and we flip around and do things and the preacher screams and hollers and everybody goes home and then has a hangover after that high. There's no mental illumination there. How can you spread light? You haven't got any. Shedeur also means spiritual inspiration and then ultimately public knowledge. And notice how this goes. A spreader of light. You want to be a spreader of light? And everybody should. You should send out Eliezer instead of Shemua. But listen how it happens. This is sequential. First, mental illumination. Come and shut up and listen. Don't try to tell me how much you know. I'm not going to argue with what you don't know. I'm talking about what you don't know. Mental illumination. Mental knowledge. Mental information. Now you're prepared mentally. Now what's next? Spiritual inspiration. And then public knowledge. Then you're equipped to go out and tell people about your Jesus. But see, some of you go and you open up your suitcase and you have moths in there. because you have no mental illumination, you have no knowledge, no information, no spiritual information, but you got a lot of public knowledge that nobody asked you for and nobody wants. So see, in order to be a spreader of light, in order to start off on the right foot, you must become God-oriented. And God is always interested in the welfare of others. See, the minute you get interested in what's good for other people, then watch how your circumstances start getting better. Instead, you keep looking at what other people are doing that's wrong, so you can judge it. You ought to start looking at what you can do to help other people. What is it that they need? You ought to spread some of this light. So the first thing, the first characteristic is Reuben, of the tribe of Reuben. You must see. Now, I'm telling you, you have two choices. You can see you, or you can see the Lord. You can see wrong, or you can see right. But it all begins with seeing. Nothing happens until you see first. This is the way our minds are set up. Now, the second individual that goes out, we will find the evil report in verse 5 of chapter 13. Again, this is the second tribe is Simeon now. I wish we had a bunch of psychologists and psychiatrists in here. I could charge them $1 million for this course. Of the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori. Now, Shaphat, if you remember, means to be a judge, to pronounce sentence for or against, to litigate, and to govern. In other words, Shaphat is an individual who's into litigation. Nothing is set. Nothing is structured, nothing is right, and nothing is wrong. Everything is open to litigation. A very good friend of mine, who happens to be an attorney, happened to tell me that they taught him at a very prestigious Eastern college, Harvard, if you will, that there is no such thing as right and wrong. There's only good arguments and bad arguments. Needless to say, 8 hours later, we weren't such good friends anymore. But we did have some misunderstanding. But you see, what they're being taught now is there's no right and there's no wrong. You find the best arguments you can for your position, whatever it is, and win. There is no right or wrong. Everything's gray. Everything's open for litigation. So you see, Shaphat is an individual who respects no authority. Nothing is settled for him. Everything depends on his final decision. After all, he is the judge. And he decides whether it's right or wrong. Forget the book. So what if he's a preacher and he's been preaching for years and called of the Lord and you all know it? So what? You're still the judge. You make the final decision, Shaphat. Well, your difficulty is that you're the son of Hori. And remember, Hori means a person who chooses to live alone, one who lives in seclusion, one who keeps away from others, one who shuts off relations with others, one who lives in a low, degenerate way, a depressed, melancholy individual. In other words, what this really happens, and I'm going to tell you what's happening, if you go out judging everyone and everything, don't know the difference between right and wrong, there is no right, there is no wrong, everything's open to conjecture, you're going to live depressed. And you're going to live alone, by the way, and I don't care how many people you have in the house, you're alone and you know it. Why? Because you're a Shaphat, and everything's open for litigation, and you're the son of Hori. Now, on the other side of the coin, now I'm going to show you how the other side of the coin, in verse 1 of chapter 6, same tribe again, of Simeon. This is the one God said, this is the one you ought to send out. Of Simeon, Shelumiel, the son of Zurishaddai. Now, Shelumiel, now understand this, Shaphat from Simeon is a judge, litigate, everything's open, nothing is settled, he never knows, it's just how many, you have more power, you can scream louder, who has the most leverage, who has the most arguments, it's just all stress. However, Shelumiel means peace of God. It means to be safe, to be well, to be happy, and to be friendly. It means to have prosperity, good health and rest, to be safe in mind, body, or estate, and to give. Now, he has a daddy, too. His name is Zurishaddai. And Zurishaddai means rock of the Almighty, a refuge. See, God is his refuge. Refuge means shelter or protection from danger or difficulty. But Hori lives in seclusion, lives in a cave. Remember, it means a troglodyte, one who lives either in the crevice of a serpent or the cell of a prison. See, that's the difference. You're living in a prison. And once in a while, you stick your tongue out and hiss a little bit as you judge somebody that comes by. And God says, look, Shelumiel lives and is sheltered and protected from danger or difficulty by the rock of the Almighty, Jesus Christ. See, there's a difference between these two men. Now, ladies, if you're looking for a man, I'm telling you, don't settle for this first one. Don't settle for the individual. You see him one day and then he's gone off into his cave somewhere. You settle for the individual that no matter what problem there is, God is his refuge. No matter what the problem is, God is the refuge. But the individual, they come and they go, they're depressed, they're up, they're down, they live in seclusion, they shut off relations, they do it. You just never know with these people. You pick a man like that and you're in big trouble. You pick a woman like that and you're in big trouble. And you know why they're like? They have no peace. You know why they have no peace? Because there's nothing settled for them. Everything is open for litigation. Now, both of these people, Shaphat or Shelumiel, come from the same tribe, Simeon. Now, Simeon means hearing. It means to hear with attention, to hear intelligently, and to hear with obedience. So are you getting the drift here? The first individual comes from Reuben, means to see. The second individual comes from Simeon, means to hear. Now, are you starting to see how your habits develop? Whether they're good or bad, how the evil report develops, or how the man that'll stand with you, how it develops? It's what he sees and what he hears. You can't name me a single habit that you have, good, bad, or indifferent, that you didn't see at first, and then somebody told you about it. And then you're going to find out in a minute how it develops. But you see, first, notice how this is working. See, this is no accident. This is the wisdom of God. Understand this. No man, no human being could know this. How could I sit there and put all this together and make it fit sequentially what we're doing here? This is just the way it is. I discovered it. I didn't fashion it. It was already there. So you see, of the first tribe of Reuben, it means to see. God is warning you, whatever you see is going to initially start the direction of which report you're going to go. And what you see is going to depend on whether you send Shemua or the other dude, Shelumiel. See, it depends on which side of you. If you're depending on God, you're going to see the right thing. If you're depending on yourself, you're going to see the wrong thing. Now, when you go out and you see the wrong thing, now the next thing you're going to do is you're going to send Simeon, and you're going to hear the wrong thing. There's two phases of your habit already situated, what you see and what you hear. So you see, if you send the God side of you, you're going to see and hear right. You send the other side, you're going to see and hear wrong. Now you're developing, notice this is developing the evil report. And incidentally, the kind of individual that you are, when you see and hear whatever you're seeing and hearing, you're going to attract a person just like you. Now, Numbers 13:6, the third tribe of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Caleb, if you remember, meant forcible, having force, using force, and affected by force, macho man. Now, Caleb is an individual, doesn't do anything unless he's forced to do. Caleb is an individual, can't get anybody to do anything except by force. He couldn't persuade you if he had gold bricks in both hands. He doesn't believe in words. He believes in force. Just like your habits, all the things you're hooked on, don't ask you. They have a force. They have a power. They make you do them. You have a Caleb mentality. Force means physical. Caleb means forcible. It means having force, using force, but affected by force. Now, if you're into force, when it's on your side and you use it, you'll be affected by force, because there's always be somebody stronger, politically, physically, however, you will be affected by force. Now, he is the son of Jephunneh, and Jephunneh means he will be prepared to face. In other words, Caleb's, he'll fight like that. He'll argue just like that. He's always ready to confront, ready for confrontation, and he's force-oriented. Now, on the other side of the coin, Numbers 1:7, of the same tribe of Judah, we have Nashan, the son of Amminadab. Now, what does Amminadab mean? It means diligently observe. Now, the difference between Caleb and Nashan is Caleb is into force. Nashan checks everything out. He's cool. He watches everything. He weighs. He ponders. He's not impetuous. He looks at all the circumstances. He doesn't fly off the handle. He's the kind of man that'll sit down and figure things out and know rationally and logically. He's a diligent observer. He's the kind of man that'll listen to you. He's the kind of man that'll watch you. He's the kind of man that's not too busy watching TV or doing some other stupid thing while his family is going to hell. He diligently observes. Why? Because he's the son of Amminadab. Amminadab means to volunteer, to offer freely, and to offer self willingly. He's always willing to help. He volunteers. He doesn't force, doesn't wave his finger at you. He says, if you want my help, I'm willing to give it. Caleb, if you ask Caleb for help, he'll grab you by the throat and make you do it. His heart's in the right place. He just doesn't know how. He'll choke you. He'll drag you and take you. Ah, but you see, they both come from the tribe of Judah. You know what Judah means? Judah means to use the hand as a means and a direction. Now, Reuben means see, Simeon means hear, and Judah means use. Now you are got three phases of this habit. Whether it's a good habit or a bad habit, you see it, you hear it, and you use it. Now, I'm going to warn you about something. You will never use anything that you didn't hear about, and you'll never hear it if you didn't see it. See, Satan knows how to program you. Any psychologist can tell you this. See, they learned about it recently. This book is 6,000 years old, and they think they're coming up with research, something new. See, hear, use. That's the tribe of Judah. In other words, God is saying, look, Moses, I'm going to tell you something. If you send out the men that you want to send, what they see, what they hear, they're going to use. If you send out the men I told you, what they see, what they hear, they're going to use. So you see, if you send out the God side of you, the side of you that's depending on this word of God, what it sees, hears, it will use, and that's the inheritance. It'll come back and make a description and say, we can do that. God is stronger than that habit. But you see, you're seeing and hearing and using the wrong thing. Why? You won't come to church. You won't hear what's being said because Satan knows you will use it. So you go home instead, or wherever you go, you see, hear, and then you use. And before long, you're abusing. And then pretty soon, you're misusing. And then you're overusing. Pretty soon, you're ODing on whatever it is. See, so what I want you to understand, God wants you to know that of Reuben you'll send out and you'll see, of Simeon you'll hear, and then of Judah you will use. Now understand this, you want to quit using, you've got to stop seeing and you've got to stop hearing. Now you know how this works, you stay away from church any length of time, I don't care how much you read your Bible, stay away from church any length of time, you'll stop seeing, you'll stop hearing, and you'll stop using. You know it. Just as true as you're sitting there, you know you will not use it. I don't care how much you see it. If you don't see it and hear it, you won't use it, child. See, Satan knows that. That's why he doesn't want you here. Doesn't want you to know because he knows how your mind is programmed. He knows how your mind works because he knows the word. But see, God's your creator and mind. He knows what he put up here. He knows how it works. He says, Reuben, tell them what they see and hear, they will use. Now, you're never going to stop using if you keep seeing and hearing. I don't care which side of the coin we're talking on now. If you keep looking for the fault in an individual and listening for things that they say wrong, then that's what you got to use. Now, you send me that same individual any day of the week that you want, and I'll look for the right in him. I'll listen for the right in him, and then I get to use the right in him. And that person is two people, one to you and one to me. Somehow you can't understand. You can't seem to grasp that. that you're looking and seeing what you are. You're sending out the wrong side of you. And then you attract an individual that fulfills this prophecy of what you see. And you say, oh my God, what have I done? I'll tell you what you've done. You found garbage. Why? Because you're looking in the dump. That's why. How can I get any plainer than that? So you see, Reuben means to see, Simeon means to hear, and Judah means to use. We'll do two more. I'm going to squeeze two more in here. Numbers 13:7. The next tribe, of the tribe of Issachar, Egel, the son of Joseph. I like Egel. I have to like, guy with a name like that, kind of have a hard time. Egel means the avenger, means to redeem. It means to be next of kin and such to buy back a relative's property. This guy claims everything. To ask for or demand as rightfully belonging to one, to claim, to assert one's right to, I've got a right to do this, God loves me anyway, I don't have to, I can. Of course you can. Egel, I know you can. That's never been the issue, whether you can. The issue is, should you? See, you're not too bright, Eagle. You keep telling me, well, I can do whatever I want. I never said you couldn't. And I'm not saying you can't do what you want now. I'm just telling you, you're not too bright. You shouldn't do that. Now, if you could ever answer me honestly and say, I think I should, or I think I shouldn't, at least we'd make some progress. You won't even answer the question I'm posing. I never said you can't. And when you mistakenly answer me that you can, I agree with you because you're right. But that's not the question. The question is, should you? And he's the son of Joseph. He asserts his right to everything. And Joseph means to make greater in size or quantity. In other words, whatever you assert your rights to, whatever you claim as your own, is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Now, you can claim it on this side, Dumbo, or you can claim it on the side you've been claiming on, but it's going to grow on you. You're not going to stay the same. You're going to get fatter. You're going to get uglier. You're going to, whatever your problem is, whatever you're doing with yourself, it's going to get more and more. Because your daddy's name is Joseph, and Joseph means to make greater in size or quantity. See, this man takes. He wants everything. You can't tell him no. If it makes you feel good, he wants it. If it's belong, he wants it. It doesn't matter. If it's fashionable, he wants it. Ladies, don't give a man like that the time of day, because the next thing he's going to want is your soul. He's an eagle. Now, on the other side of the coin, Numbers 1:8 of the same tribe of Issachar, we have Nethaneel, the son of Zuar. And Nethaneel means given of God. You see the difference? Eagle is claiming everything. And Nethaneel knows everything is given of God. And how can you see, I don't worry. You can't outgive God. See, you can't go out and claim everything. You'll never have anything, you cheapskate. There's some of you in here. I hope, even though it's not Christmas, I'd like to have you have a little Jimmy Cratchit or whatever that dude's name was, that Ebenezer Scrooge character. You cheap miser, you. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Well, you haven't got two nickels to rub together, and you never will, because you're such a miser. Nethaneel means given of God. It means to give and to bestow, to deliver, to distribute. In other words, God says, I'm looking for a man who I can open up the heavens and give. And they'll always, listen, the fallout is tremendous. It just sticks here and there as it goes by. And there's always more than enough. But you see, Nethaneel knows it's given of God. And Eagle says, oh man, tough times are coming. And they grab everything. They squeeze it. They won't give you anything. You get married to a man like that, and you better apply for care packages. Maybe from Ethiopia they might send you something. Oh. You'll have to be looking in the cupboards. Well, we can't eat today, because that's crazy. That's miserly. But you see, Nethaneel knows he's given of God. There's an abundance. He knows there'll always be more than enough. And his father's name is Zuar. Now I'm going to tell you why Nethaneel knows it's given of God. Because Zuar means small and ignoble. It means to be of the common people. It means not noble in birth or position or quality. not lofty, not a proud individual, not superior, not splendid, not grand, not magnificent, not of high hereditary rank or title. In other words, he's a humble Christian. And that's why he's so exalted. You get around a Nethaneel who's a son of Zoar, lady, you'll never do without anything. There'll always be not only enough in the cupboard, but for the neighbors too, and for whoever else needs it also. But you cheap, miserly Ebenezer Scrooges, you eagles, I have no compassion for you. I wouldn't give you a nickel if I had one. Because all you're going to do is you're going to skin the buffalo on there and try to sell it. But they're all from the tribe of Issachar, both of these people. And you know what Issachar means? To perform. Now, here, Reuben, see. Simeon, hear. Judah, use. Issachar, perform. Can you see how your habit is starting to develop on either side of the coin? If you're a cheapskate, you'll start performing it. In fact, we may have to get a band, you know, and back you up with music. I mean, I don't care how we do it. Whatever it takes to make you understand. I hope you have a dream tonight with a guy coming with chains to tell you and show you what you're doing to Jimmy Cratchit or Cratchit or Cricket, whoever that little cripple guy was. That's what I'm hoping for. Lord, show them that they're doing wrong. Show them that this is not the way of the Christian life. See, I'm speaking now on behalf of your children and your wives, you miserly cheapskates. If that doesn't do it, I don't know what will. I know what'll do it, the next one. Numbers 13:10. We got another tribe now. Of the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Sodai. Gadiel, or Gadiel, means distributing the fortune of God. On the surface, that would sound like it's a real cool individual, but watch this, he's the son of Sodai. Sodai means inward, secret counsel. See, he knows everything. It just, if it doesn't feel right, if it doesn't hit him right, it's inward, secret counsel. He's not going to learn outwardly. Nothing outside of him can affect him. Everything comes from inside. They make great addicts. They make great food addicts. They make great everything because they're so inward oriented. They make great psychopaths too because everything's inside of them. Paranoid schizophrenics, they make great because everything's inside of them. They depend on everything that's going on inside. Nothing's happening outside of them. Sodai means of the inner nature of a person. It means mysterious. See, their knowledge is something nobody understands, including them. And you see, it's nowhere that you can check it because it's inward. It's not the Bible, because you can check that out. It's all inward. Sodai means beyond general knowledge or understanding, beyond the understanding of most people, or esoteric, very esoteric people. And remember what esoteric meant. It comes from the word esotropia. And esotropia means to have one eye focused on an object and the other eye turned inward, in other words, cross-eyed. Now the son of Sodai, the esoteric, the one who's suffering from esotropia, looks at the problem which he created and then looks for the answer in him. Well, he's the one that created the problem. They're as cross-eyed as they can be, and stupid on top of that. But cross-eyed, that's the individual. See, they won't look to the Lord. They look to the problem and they analyze it, and then the solution is inside of them. They forget something. You caused the problem. Now, if the solution is inside of you, then why did the solution cause the problem? See, just plain logic will tell you that the esoteric is not too bright on top of that. Here's the problem, or the solution. They're both from the tribe of Zebulun. And Zebulun means habitation. It means where you reside and where you dwell. Do you know what the word habitation, where it comes from? Habit. Now, here's what we have. You see, Reuben means to see. Simeon means to hear. Judah means you have the use. Issachar means you perform it. Now you do it. And now Zebulun, you live in it. It's your habitation, and it becomes a habit. You are now hooked. You'll never get out. You don't even know how you got in. See, I can tell you there's not a doctor, psychologist, psychiatrist, to my knowledge, on the face of this earth that knows this. And here it's been in this book all the time. How many preachers have passed these scriptures and say, oh, all these names, Gad and Eliasaph and Bubliap and Gobbledygook and Expialidocious, and they just go on by it. No, this is the Word of God. Everything in here has a meaning. Right. Don't give me that Expialidocious stuff. It means something. You see, there's a lesson here in how we are made mentally, how we are made psychologically, how we are made spiritually. And for years, this has been passed by like it's just something that God didn't have anything to do, and it had to be so long, and these guys are all dead guys anyway. But why did he put his name in there? Well, just to make it read longer, and so then I don't know why. Well, now you know why. Reuben, see. Simeon, hear. Judah, use, have access. Issachar, perform, start doing it. And then you got Zebulun, now it's a habit. But you see, it can be on either side. Do you understand what I'm telling you? If you come and see, come and hear, you will have the use, then you will perform this, and it becomes a habit. What, you think we're more righteous? No, we just see, hear, use, perform, and we live in it. But that's all we did out there. I just didn't know how I was doing. I knew what. I didn't know how. I didn't know how I got into those things. I tried to cut it off at the habit, and I never could. I'd come to the altar. I'd pray. I'd ask God. I'd read. I'd give more money. I did everything to try to cut it off at the habit. Didn't understand that until I stopped performing it, it would remain a habit. So I stopped trying to perform it. I couldn't. Because I had the use of it. It was mine. Why was it mine? Because I heard it. And I saw it. So you see, what I'm trying to tell you is, whatever, when you come to church and you sit there and see, and then you hear, you've got the use of it. Do you understand it now belongs to you? Now you can walk out of here and perform it. And you mark this down. It won't be very long before it's a habit. It's a habitation. You'll be living in it. That's how you got into the wrong. See what Satan did? He took the Word of God, he divided it, he sat wherever he sits, and divided it, says, oh, I see. So this is the way it works. So then he started out with all the things that tantalized you. Oh, she saw that the tree was good to the eyes. It was pleasant to the eyes. See, hath God said, you'll be as gods. Here. You can have it. Try it. She had the use. Performed it. Habit hooked. 6,000 years we've all been doing it. Started way back then. Still going on every day. Just showing you the way out. See, this is a way out for your habit. You can try it any other way you want, brother, sister. You can try it all you want. You're never coming out. Because you don't know how you got in. And you see, God says, look, it was simple. All you did was see, hear, have the use, have the legal use. You performed it and became a habit. And all I'm asking you to do is get your bones here. Just sit down and keep your eyes open. I'll furnish the toothpicks. I'll bring some drops. We'll clear out the wax so that you can hear. I'll bang drums, anything to keep you awake. I want you to have the use of this when you come out of here. Because if you have the use to see, if you get it mentally, if you see it and hear it, you've got the legal right to it. You'll go out there with the legal right to use it, and then you're going to perform a different performance. And then you won't have to do that very long, and it'll become a habit. And habit means something done often and therefore done easily.